Hello, what's up, everyone? Welcome to a bonus episode of The One Inch Barrier. I am your host, Juan Carlos Ojano, and I hope you're all staying safe and staying healthy, and some of us are still staying at home. Ah! It's just the way it goes. All right, so this episode is the first of the 2017 retrospective where we talk about the films that were nominated for Best Foreign Language Film alongside A Fantastic Woman, which won Best Foreign Language Film. So this episode is going to be available in full on Patreon, so I am excited to do this. It gives me the chance to look back at the nominees, give them a rewatch. Yeah, so for our first bonus episode, we are talking about Lebanon's official submission for Best Foreign Language Film at the 90th Academy Awards. We are talking about The Insult, or in its original language in French, L'Insulte, co-written and directed by Ziad Doueiri. So for a quick summary, this is about a Lebanese Christian living with his pregnant wife, and then he had an encounter with a Palestinian refugee working in for city development or something. And because of that incident where the Palestinian refugee said an insult, there became a series of aggressions that led them to face each other in a trial that became a national thing because it exposed some deep-seated prejudices among the divided communities in Lebanon. So that's a quick summary of The Insult. So our guest for this episode is from the United Kingdom. Our guest was in a 2005 episode where we talked about Tsotsi. He's a writer and in Review Online and co-host of Categorically Oscars. It's been more or less a year now since the last time I talked to him, so I'm really excited. Please welcome Callum Reid. Hi, Cal. Thank you so much for coming back after a year.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me again on the show. And I'm glad we've got a better lineup of films to talk about this time around.
Yeah, I remember 2005, we were like kind of like scrambling to have like, what can we say about these films? But I am happy because I've always thought of like having you back, and just time goes by fast. I'm like, what? It's been more than a year now? But I'm so happy to have you back. Yeah, it's crazy. But I'm so happy. Can you tell our listeners where can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, so we're on Twitter at CategoricallyO, and we've got a website, categoricallyoscars.com. And basically in each episode, we talk about a category, a lineup of films from the Oscars from the past, and could be any year. So we kind of float around a little bit. There's no order to it.
Yeah, I am excited. Woo! All right, so The Insult. We've talked about a little bit in our first, before we recorded, this is your first time. For me, this is the first time I watched it after I watched it for the 2017 episode where I and a guest talked about A Fantastic Woman. So this is, I admit I wasn't looking forward to rewatching it, but that's the gift of a rewatch. It's like sometimes emotions calm down or sometimes emotions become even more intense. But what's your take now? This is your first time. What do you think of The Insult?
Well, I mean, firstly, I did want to see it at the time that it came out, but it was not readily available anywhere. And the sad thing is it's not readily available in many places in Europe at the moment either. I think it's available online in the US quite on Netflix and various other platforms, but in Europe it's quite difficult to get to watch it. But I watched this yesterday, so it's very fresh in my mind, and I'm for the most part I was glad to finally watch it, because I do think that it has its own perspective on the Middle East situation, and it's good to see how that affects Lebanon particularly. But the story itself makes some big missteps, I would say. And it does overall feel a little bit too manufactured for its own good. So mixed feelings overall. But I'm glad I watched it on the whole.
I would admit, my emotions were very intense in the 2017 episode. I really hated it. I thought the film was I thought the film had a good core, but the execution and then as the film went on, the writing became more and more shaky to the point that I hated the film. Because I thought there was a good film somewhere, but then I think it got really messy. With this rewatch, which was 4 hours ago, so it was also fresh, I wasn't having a good day, so this is the only film I've seen this today. My emotions tempered. I'm not as on the lookout for mistakes as before. Before I was just like agitated by everything, but now I'm more calm, more calm, but the problems were still affecting me. I think it had a good setup. It had a good promise actually, because the story, I think the premise itself is interesting, because I've also read some interviews at the time that, on the incident that it was based. And it's almost like kind of the same. And I think it was a really interesting premise to begin with because it's very specific. Like, an accident, a very small infrastructure accident that just springed into bigger things. And that I appreciated. But I think the film wasn't able to really follow up. And it became. There were some things that didn't change or became monotonous, and then there were some things that just like drastically changed, almost as if rushed or forced. And so now I see it more as it was a phrase said in the film, a missed opportunity to a missed opportunity to go deeper, because I think I was really hoping for it to be one thing, and in turn, I was hoping that it would be more thoughtful. This one, I think, had a tendency to be sensationalistic.
But I mean, we talk about the premise, it's very much on the Asghar Farhadi, Nuri Bilge Ceylan sort of vibe, that it's kind of a story that they might have devised, but without the ability to take advantage of it to that kind of degree. And I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of Asghar Farhadi, which is probably not very popular, apart from The Salesman, which I actually really like. But you do have this very domestic problem that's fueled by prejudice and mistrust, that then escalates into this struggle between people that are very moralistic and single-minded and too proud to back down, you know? So it very much had this domestic drama vibe going on, with a sort of modesty in it, modesty. And then it sort of ended up becoming a bit grander and lurching in a grander direction, and with all of the political conflict, and with Tony and Yasser going to see the president of Lebanon, which was an extremely silly scene. When that happened, I thought, okay, you've gone too far here. The scope was, I mean, I admire the scope it was trying to get to, but I thought that that was very Lifetime movie-ish.
Very I liked your observation that the premise itself kind of had like this Farhadi-ish Farhadi-esque quality to it, and he's one of my favorite filmmakers, but this is a safe space, so don't worry. The thing with this film is that the premise is solid ish I already regretted my word right away, but I don't think it did not know how to follow through. It there's so much potential for thoughtful storytelling and exploring the small things. And I felt that the film was trying to cram all of those, you know, the way, you know, microaggressions and not only politically, but personally, the characters have their own drama. The character of, I need to get names, the names here. Tony Hanna has a pregnant wife, and then he's kind of hot-tempered. And then he also has Yasser Salame, Yasser Salame, who is doing his best, but he also has his own temper issues, anger management issues. And then you put them together. So, like on a personal, emotional, human level, they already have something against. And but then you compound it with the political context of their backstories. For example, Yasser is a refugee, and Tony had a much more tragic backstory. I mean, not comparing tragedies of lives, but Tony as a kid ran away from a town that was attacked. So that's why they had their own prejudices coming in already. So that's a setup for very complex character work. And the film just like was going for the big swings. Big dramatic scenes, big speeches, big gestures. And listen, when the riots happened, it was just like, all right, it was trying to already force a national context that would have been interesting, but I don't think the film earned its journey to reach those. That's why it felt everything. I mean, the riots felt forced, the meeting with the president felt forced, the scene after the president, the car, that also felt forced, the slideshow felt forced. But these are individually good ideas, but just the film didn't know how to go there organically.
Yeah, I mean, I was taking notes when I was watching the film, and the first word I wrote down was contrived. You know, the whole thing is just full of contrivances. And I mean, the very idea that one punch leads to, you know, him collapsing and then the wife having the baby prematurely, it all sort of snowballed very quickly in a way that felt written. And then there were even elements of it that were contrived that didn't need to be to further the plot. Things like the father and daughter being against each other as lawyers. Because, I mean, really, they have one scene together where they talk about the case in their house or the father's house. But apart from that, I mean, the lawyers are just pretty much just lawyers that you'd see in a general film about a general trial. So it didn't really affect anything in terms of the plot. And even parts of the trial, I think, strained credibility where they brought out a guy who had supposedly encountered Yasser years ago, but didn't recognize him now. So how on earth would they have gone about finding the witness in the first place, you know? So there were lots to do with the trial that felt like that just wouldn't happen in real life. It felt sensationalist, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, that twist about the lawyer, I mean, it's an early twist, so it's supposed to be this, it's not a late in the film twist, it's an early twist that I don't know what was the point, because I think immediately we were already getting the vibe of like, all right, this is an established lawyer, this is a young lawyer, and they're kind of battling, and there's already this age problem, like superiority discrepancy, that is already an interesting element to it. But the father and daughter thing, just like, it still doesn't work for me, because they own, like, for example, the what's the name of the lawyer, the female lawyer that is handling Yasser, it's Nadine is has already passion for the refugees of their plight, and Attorney Wajdi already has political conflict, political interests. That's why he even took the case in the first place. So I think those were already enough to put them against, and that would already been a very dynamic clash, court-wise, and even their styles of lawyering in court is also another thing. Wajdi is very grandstanding, and the dean is almost like studying everything before she asks something. She's like kind of lurking around and like assessing and assessing before she strikes. But Wajdi is just like all in, go, and those are already enough to give conflict on the legal level. I mean, aside from Yasser and Tony, the lawyers already have their own conflicts that are already strong. And then that, I don't know, it was even never even mentioned after, like, it was just like, it was totally unnecessary. And again, part of the film's, I don't know, tendency to hinge on over melodrama.
It's just forgotten about, isn't it? And you kind of think, okay, you know, this woman might be driven to help the refugees in part because her father is the opposite way, you know? But they don't explore that at all. They don't explore their past relationship. It's all just swept under the carpet, and then the trial continues, and you kind of think, well, why did you bother with that twist, you know? But, I mean, the strength of the film for me, because I feel like we're talking too
much to you. Yes, the film has strengths.
I think the strength is probably going to be better felt if you don't know a lot about Lebanon and you don't know a lot about the Middle East. I did not really understand Lebanon's position in all of this before I came to watch the movie. So on an educational level, I actually think it's quite successful in detailing how the Middle East conflict and that tension affects Lebanon. And I found it interesting that, you know, the Lebanese, obviously some people in Lebanon don't like the idea of Palestinians being driven into their country and having to take on refugees, immigration, etc., etc. But then I also found it interesting that Tony is then seen as pro-Israel because he's not accepting the, you know, the refugees, or you know, so it's cut, you know, to hire a Palestinian would please Israel because then they wouldn't want to go back to Palestine. So the way that that's explained, and the way that when the case becomes political, Tony is unhappy because he's been labeled an Israeli sympathizer, I thought was interesting. And the fact that Lebanon is this sort of country caught in the middle a little bit of all the Israel-Palestine rumblings.
Yeah, for the record, my words were not driven by just anger or hate of the film, but I think, I just had to justify that, my behavior. I'm usually misread as intense or always angry, but it's just more coming from a place of disappointment, because I think the ingredients were there. And for that, I applaud some parts of the writing, because the elements were there, and I wish maybe if the direction was more studied, maybe if, I don't know, would it benefit that the film would have been longer so that the scenes would breathe, or plot points, we would get to plot points more organically, or some scenes needed some scenes in between to make sense, or maybe, for example, the slideshow in the court, that for me is a potentially powerful moment, because now it's being contextualized not only to the characters but to us. But I think the way it was integrated to the story was kind of shoehorned because of, I'm not a lawyer, but on how does it work its way into the actual case at hand? So for me, I appreciated that background. I'm not the kind of person that always craves for backstory, but that bigger context I think it's necessary for us to understand Tony a little bit, because I don't think the actor is giving a lot of nuances. The one playing Tony, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's very monotonous. The actor is Adel Karam.
Yeah.
And it's very, it's kind of one note. And
yeah.
To be honest, I mean, you talk about the slideshow, and the slideshow happened, and I thought, well, is that the film needing to bring him back as a person? Because he had been so horrible, pretty much, you know, up until then. And it was kind of an excuse to then say to the audience, okay, but look what happened to him. Let's try and understand. And I kind of, to be honest, the actual issue at hand with the drain pipe, I'm not entirely sure Tony was in the wrong. I mean, I kind of think there'd be people that would be like, well, if somebody's just come up to my property and started messing with it, even if they're doing it for the greater good, it's a little bit like, hold on, you don't have to face the consequences of this. So the actual issue with the drain pipe, I think, is interesting and can be seen by both sides. But it does feel like the Damore massacre being introduced is an attempt to excuse his racism and his behavior. I'm not entirely sure it manages to get there. But I think it's the film's clearly utilizing it to get us to understand why he harbors the hatred for Palestinians that he does. You know, even after that happens and he walks out the courtroom, it cuts to Yasser looking contemplative, you know, like he's just realizing it. It's almost telling us to realize with him that there's more to this man. But it's definitely a moment in the film where you can clearly feel the cogs of the script churning away. And there are many moments like that, to be honest. But it's the moment where you feel the writers thinking, how can we create convergence between these people? How can we reconcile the audience's feelings towards Tony? And the manipulation and the manufacturing of the emotion, for me, is a little bit too transparent in that moment. And same with the scene where the car won't start, which is pretty stupid too.
Yeah, yeah. It's very manipulative on how it was. I loved how you articulated it, that the inciting incident, basically the drain pipe. I'm probably more leaning with Yasser, even though he because it's not Tony. Well, it's not Tony's. Maybe Tony did not know that it was illegal to have that. We're really talking about the incident. We're talking about the drain pipe, and then Yasser is all just implementing like city regulations that it's not correct, but then. Kind of because Tony was dismissive, Yasser kind of like, I don't know, was trying to, I don't know, kind of show a bit of like, like I'm in the right. Because I think that's in his character, that if he's right, he's going to do what's right, even though that alienates other people. Or like, for example, the Liber $800 machine, something like that was not a popular, the owner of the company that, that testified in the case, and then when he was being crossed by Wajdi, it sounds like Yasser was bypassing his authority, but then because of Nadine's cross examination, now we get to see like he just. And has initiative to a fault, that he would just do the right thing. So I think Yasser was trying to do the right thing. But what, going back to my initial point, which I already lost, is that that incident of the drain pipe is already just a minefield of emotional. It's so juicy already, and the aftermath of that. But the film was, and I think the characters themselves, That's why I put it on the notes, a good setup, because I think the first 20, 30 minutes were like, okay, we are, I see the elements kind of falling into place. And then if the film just stayed there, and we would have something more, I don't know, maybe it would have gone more complex in terms of the drama at hand. But then it was trying to raise the emotional stakes, not by digging deep into that situation and the characters, but by compounding external political context, which I understand where it was going, but it just felt put on. And I see this is a co-production of nations. I don't know if there was a tendency to explain because of that outsider perspective. Because for me, I learned more about the Black September, which was a real life incident that is horrifying. And upon understanding that, we would have gained a little bit more of understanding why Tony is Tony, not understanding, but more like, and also not justification, but more like, okay, I see where you're coming from. Not saying you're right, but I'm also trying to see a version of the film where it didn't need those explicitly political context, and we could have just stayed in a human drama that was already established, because it felt like, you know, it didn't feel organic the way it was trying to amp up the stakes. And even the cinematography can, yeah, I think the cinematography has this also, the tendencies to be sensationalistic is there in the cinematography, and the editing feels either rough or trying to stoke the fire. I don't know. I was getting this sense that it was trying to really lift the drama, and it was just losing the nuances of the story at hand.
But it sort of felt almost archival with the editing at times, when you got, I mean, you had the all this anti-Palestine propaganda that Tony watches, it would cut to that, and then when the conflict happens, it does almost feel like it's from another time, even the modern conflict that's happening as a result of the case. So I think it's trying to, I think all that's probably part of a broader point about the Middle East. Things have not changed, in all these years. We've still got this horrible grudge between both sides. But I think in terms of the characters, for me, you've mentioned Tony's a little bit of a narrow character, or played narrowly. But Yasser's, I mean, does Yasser need to be this noble in the film? I feel like the character's written as a bit nobler than thou. You know, he mostly makes the right decisions. He seems like a very moral person. Like, he's not happy when the lawyer brings up the miscarriages that Shireen has had. And I thought, well, hold on. Do you want to go to prison? You know, I felt that was too respectful. And I didn't like, in general, how binary it seemed. I don't know if you felt this way, but to me, it seemed like Tony was a racist, horrible person, and Yasser was actually quite nice. And I would have liked a little bit more, but more of a mix, more grays, less black and whites in both characters, to be honest. You do get a mix in other characters, but those two specifically feel like they're sort of on opposing sides of the good-bad divide.
Hey, what's up? Thank you for listening to this preview of this bonus episode. If you want to hear more, please head to patreon.com/theoneinchbarrier. For only $4 a month, not only do you have full access to bonus episodes, but you also get early access to regular episodes. Again, thank you so much. And together, let's break the 1-inch barrier.